Throughout all of history, they've only talked about the fame, never the hard work, never the elbow grease, never the early call time.
Early call time.
Good morning.
We're here. It is the morning. I'm in my pajamas. I've got my teddy bear.
Hot cup of cocoa.
Yeah, I did just have hot chocolate.
I know.
Yeah, out of my Stitcher's mug. Segue.
Good segue.
We're here with...
That's pretty good.
We're here with actress Kyle Harris. She plays lab tech number 6 on Fox and Family's Skechers.
I wish.
Check
Skechers?
It out.
Oh, it turned into...
It airs April 7th, 2012.
A shoe show now.
On your local iPhone.
Cool.
So
that's the best intro I've ever been given.
Thanks for coming. It's the most accurate.
If it is.
Kyle plays Cameron on Stitchers, which is on Freeform.
Yep.
And he's also... That's it.
That's all you need.
I don't know. Thanks for coming.
You're welcome.
What do you guys want to do now?
I don't know. Well, it's been fun.
Yeah, we want to go get dinner or something?
Thanks for coming to Tarzana.
Yeah. Wait, I thought it was breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
We're in our pajamas still, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's weird that you came over.
Dinner for breakfast.
Dinner for breakfast, that's right. That's a new thing.
Yeah.
Dinner for...
Steak and eggs, man.
Steak and eggs, man.
You want some roast beef for breakfast?
Sure.
Some meatloaf.
How did you get onto the show Stitchers?
Yeah,
if
tell
you
us.
Might ask.
Jump right in. Yeah. How did I
whatever.
Get in?
Whatever. I mean, we don't have
we
to.
Don't have, nah,
we can talk about whatever,
whatever.
Man.
How did I get into the show Stitchers? I was. I'll give you the long story.
Good, because we have time to fill.
Yeah,
and you haven't done that much with your life, so
no,
like
this is the only story I have.
More you can talk about.
So I got the audition. While I was in Virginia, visiting my buddy.
I didn't know this.
Yeah. And
I didn't know you'd been to Virginia.
Yeah, it was a long train trip. Yeah.
Oh, you took the train.
I took the train. And I got the audition. And I remember being like, looking for nerdy Seth Rogen was what it said in the breakdown. And I was
really?
Like, yeah. Yep. And I remember being like, there's no way. Like, I have his hair, maybe, but come on. So, and then I kept reading it, and it said, like, brilliant, and then I was like, meh. And then it said neuroscientist, and I definitely was like, nope. So, you know, the odds, I thought, were definitely not in my favor. And I remember leaving Virginia, and my buddy's mom was like, what is it? And I was like, this nerdy Seth Rogen, brilliant neuroscientist guy. And she's like, well, are you going to shave? And I was like, was that going to do the trick? And so I'm like, yeah, I've got to shave, I guess. And so I get on the train and I like read the pilot. And I remember thinking like, this is cool. Like I remember, you know, having read a lot of pilots for that season and being like, how did these things get greenlit? How do these things get made? Like, why does someone even waste their time writing this? And this... actually wasn't one of those. I thought like, okay, like, you know, I would actually be interested to see what happens next, you know? Mm-hmm. And, so that was kind of a big sell for me. Not like I had any position to say like yes or no to like, you know, auditioning for these things. I was like, I needed something and anything at that point. And, I got to New York and I remember being like, I got in at like 5 a.m. and like the audition was at 9 or something. And I remember being like, telling my manager, I was like, dude, I can't do this at 9 a.m. I just got off a, you know, 15-hour train ride.
Ooh.
And so I get into the audition, it was at like 2 or something, and then I remember the casting director was just like, oh, did you have like, you know, another audition or something that was conflicting? I was like, no, man, I just was sleeping. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. There's no way I could do this. And so he's like, all right, great. So we get in the room, we do the tape. It's the, you know, the first scene where I meet Kirsten. And I remember at the end of the I was wearing my glasses for the audition because I thought all brilliant neuroscientists must wear glasses.
Of course,
Yeah, exactly. And at the very end, I like made this choice to take off my glasses to be like, hey guys, this is what I look like without glasses. Meanwhile. Like Jeff, the creator, thought like it was the showrunner thought like that was like my brilliant choice to be like, No, I'm actually, sorry, I just hit the microphone.
Like, everyone does.
They thought that that was my choice to be like, actually, I was playing a different character this whole time. I'm actually this guy. And apparently that's what sold it for him. Meanwhile, I was just so shallow to be like, and this is what I look like without glasses in case you don't want to cast someone who's wearing glasses.
Were you doing it as part of the scene?
Yeah, I mean, at the very end of the scene. Like
the dramatic pull-off? Like,
it wasn't dramatic. I just, it was, yeah, exactly. And then I ripped my shirt open and it had a giant S on it for Stitchers.
Right.
And I remember like just doing this being like literally it was just kind of like, well, that concludes the interview. Taking off my glasses to kind of be like, you know, whatever. And I remember like playing to my computer the entire time and I take my glasses off to like look up at her and I see her for the first time and be like, oh God, you're hot.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like my choice. That was completely bullshit that they bought as, you know, as the thing that separated the men from the boys that day. I'm going to say, yeah, the asshole from the boys, and I got lucky. And so that was all on tape. They sent the tape over. I get a call about 2 weeks, maybe a week and a half, I don't know, later. Manager says, you remember that Stitchers thing? And I was like, we are both were like, what? Wait, what is this? The sci-fi, the nerd thing? And I was like, what? And I'm like, oh yeah, well, okay, what about it? He's like, well, they want to test you. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, you aren't getting on a plane. And I was like, oh, okay, is it happening here? He's like, no, you're actually just going to go on tape again and casting, and then they're going to use your tape as your test. So I remember thinking like, all right, that's fine by me. Like, I don't need to stress about this as much. And, like, I can kind of, you know, but it's today. And so I had to learn the other scene, which, of course, I put off because it was the longer one. And I was like, oh, I don't want to learn the long one for the initial audition. So I had to learn the long one now. I get in there. I do it. Same casting director guy, you know, and put myself on tape. And they sent it over. And they played it in the room. And that was my test. And I remember Emma, the girl who plays Kirsten on the show, she had told me that, you know, they had made that decision that, you know, they were going to go with me and that, you know, they were kind of telling her, like, this is kind of what he's like, you know, this is the way he's kind of playing the scene, you know, think of that.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So I'm basically the reason why she got cast. No, I don't know. I
don't. Was the test with the two of you or was it
no,
just you?
No, I never met Emma until the day of the table read. So I show up to the table read and I'm thinking like, oh God, I hope I'm what they want in person. You know, like we had said, I could have showed up completely just with, you know,
wrong.
Only a top half.
Yeah.
You know? And, so I, interesting choice. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And so I meet Emma and I'm thinking like, okay, like I can work with this. And it sounds so shallow, but I was just like, easy on the eyes. I thought this would be fun. And we do the table read, and I remember thinking, like, my manager told me right before, like, I went in, he's like, remember, they can still fire you after this. And I was just like, that's not what I need to hear right now.
That's what I was telling people, too.
Yeah.
Because we'd been working on it for, like, 6 or 8 weeks or something at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I hope, you know, this goes well, because all those people could get fired right after this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, cool, thanks,
yeah, I guess. Yeah, I know. I was just like, all right, well, that's just one more, you know, ring of fire I need to jump through.
Yeah.
And so I like came to that table read like off book. Like I was in it. I was like, you're not going to fire me after this thing.
Yeah.
You know? So we did it and we shot the pilot and everything went swimmingly. And then we, get a phone call a couple months later saying like, we loved it. We loved you guys. And we're taking just that.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else we're leaving behind. And I was like, so I still have a job? And they're like, yes. I'm like, okay, that's all that matters. Yeah. And so there are two versions of Stitchers pilots floating around out there.
Yeah.
The first one has Andrew Zuber as a UPS man.
Yeah,
that would be my intro if I were running a podcast. UPS man.
UPS guy.
And the never before seen.
You stood so still.
Yeah, well, let me tell you a long story about how that went.
Okay.
And that's all the time we have.
That's been, yeah, that's
been. They were like, can you fit into these brown shorts? Yep. Welcome to the Stitchers program.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And we've been fighting for him to come back to the show since.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Sally wants me to play her her, like, adopted albino son or something.
That's, I don't know.
I'm all for it.
why not? Crazier things
season
have been done.
Season 3, let's jump that shark.
Absolutely. Yeah, so that was my journey to...
We had a good time on that pilot.
We did.
We had a good time on that picture.
We really did. Nice. You know, lots of things changed, but lots of things stayed the same, and, you know.
Yeah.
And are you primarily New York or L.A.?
I mean, I've been in New York for 7 years. Okay. I moved there after college, and I've just been out here in L.A. just shooting Stitchers, and then I go back, actually, in 2 weeks to just kind of watch myself on TV unemployed and hope for the best.
I remember you texting me when we were airing the first time. Mm-hmm. I think it was you that was saying it, just like while the episodes were airing, and just being like, it's so weird, like, there I am. I'm on national television right now. All these people are watching. I don't have a job.
Mm-hmm. I'm literally sitting in my underwear watching Stitchers for the third time.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'd have roommates come in and be like, oh, I want to watch it. You know, and I'd have to rewatch it with them, and I'd sit there and, you know, whatever. Not I'd have to, but, I mean, at the time, it's always all very exciting. And, like, you know, I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's me. Cool, whatever. And then, you know, and now we're in our second season. We know what it is or whatever. And obviously, I'll still watch the show, but it's, you know, it's a trip because you're like, oh my gosh. And then you kind of take a step back and look at your surroundings and look at what you're actually doing. And you're like, I'm literally eating tuna out of the can right now. It's so sad.
And it's expired.
And it's expired. Yeah, exactly. Just collecting unemployment.
Bought it at a bodega somewhere.
It's true. So at least I know how to live.
I guess it's better than like blowing it all on a Maserati or something.
Yeah, that's true. I just blow it all in tuna.
When you first started working on the show, did you feel like, oh, I could buy a house or I could buy a car?
No. I'm pretty like, I mean, coming from, you know, the theater community, it's like, you know, you're doing a job and, you know, $800 a week is like, sure, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I know how to live off of that. So I don't think this job put me in a different, you know, mindset. It just was more like, okay, I have now more of a cushion to have a net to fall into if things don't go my way for a while, you know? And like, they always tell you like not to buy anything until like season 4 or something.
Yeah.
But then I'm also like, let's get there.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk, you know? Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, my girlfriend's itching for a house and I'm just like, and I'm itching for a network contract.
Yeah.
But, you know, but we'll find somewhere to meet in the middle and hopefully it's a house.
I remember listening to a podcast. I forget what podcast it was and who they were interviewing. So obviously it meant a great deal to me. But if somebody, it was an actress on a show and she was talking about how they got to, I don't know what, 5 or 6 seasons, she was driving the same crappy car. Mm. And somebody who was huge on the show was just like, dude, go buy a car.
Was it Gillian Anderson? Or not Gillian, girl that was on Community.
Oh, Gillian Jacobs?
Gillian Jacobs.
Mm, I don't know what she, maybe?
It's because it sounds
familiar.
Might
have been.
Yeah.
Somebody was just like, you gotta go buy a car.
I drive... You know, Damon on the show, Detective Fisher, always gives me shit because he says, you know...
Okay, he's not exactly rolling in a Hummer.
I mean, it might as well be compared to my grandma's car that I'm driving.
That's true.
I mean, I have a tape deck in my car.
Sweet.
Because I'm, you know, vintage like that. But...
let's go with that.
We'll go that route. We'll call it vintage.
You're so hipster.
I'm so hip. I don't have to crank my windows down. Yeah. I do have automatic windows. But it's like a, you know, it's sensible. But, you know, Damon gives me shit because he's just like, you're the only TV star I know that rolls up in this beat up piece of shit. I'm just like, I'm sorry.
Well, he's driving, a Camry?
No, he's got like a nice Jeep.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, never mind.
And I can only say the best things about the guy.
Yeah, I don't want him to hit me. So.
Exactly.
Boy, he's really good looking, though.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
It's unbelievable.
Is he the only male that wears a suit on the show?
On the daily,
yeah,
pretty much.
He'll. It's either
I mean,
suit,
he looks good in a suit.
It's either suit or shirtless.
Yeah, and when we found out he was shirtless, we're like, oh, we're getting picked up for 2 more seasons now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think Freeform's seen abs like that
ever
since season 1 when I took my shirt off and there was just paint going down my body that was just running because I'd sweated off my makeup to make it look like I had abs. Spoiler alert.
Wait a second.
Hey.
I like to eat.
But the scar is real.
The scar is real. No.
I've touched it.
I think I had
like a gummy worm.
I think I commented on the. I think I tweeted you about that episode when he had shirt off.
Oh yeah,
It's my favorite tweet ever.
Wait, what did
I said? Dynamite areolas.
Dynamite areolas. It's true. I mean, I probably have the best nips in the biz.
That's what got you the job of Stitchers.
Good job.
That's true. They're like, shirt off, please.
Jeff was like, show me more.
That's all I had in my bag of tricks.
Yeah. A removable shirt.
I was like, well, I guess this is how Hollywood works, right?
Yeah. You just walk in.
It's my first time.
Your head hung low.
All right.
You've done other TV, though.
Yeah, a couple of things. You but this was this was my first thing that shot in Los Angeles, I suppose. Everything else is either New York or Toronto.
Because Carrie Dyers was New York.
Carrie Dyers was New York.
Songbird and was New York?
Songbird was... Songboyd. Songbird.
Songboyd.
Songboyd was New York. And then I did Beauty and the Beast in Toronto on that CW show.
Oh.
What did you play on Beauty and the Beast?
Oh, God. I don't know his name. Okay. I played Roger... I don't know. I was like, I was sick. I had a lot of nosebleeds.
And you looked really bad.
Yeah, I was really sweaty and really sick. And I played, you know, I tried to do like the Bryan Cranston, like cancer cough, where I just was like, you know, and I was trying to like sneak that in there because I was dying. And I thought like, well, who's going to watch this? And, but it, you know what? It was fun. It was a great time. The crew and everyone was great. I just was like, what? I threw myself on tape being like, sure.
Yeah.
And the things that always come back are the things I put on tape for some reason. Yeah. And but it was, I don't know, I had some serum to like kill some bad demon beast. Yeah. And I injected myself with it thinking I would turn into a super demon to kill the bad demon and end up just killing me. I was just like, oh, God, this backfired quickly.
That was the line.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then a great story from that set was I got to shoot a gun for the first time.
Awesome.
And they were like, you've shot a gun before, right? And I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, of course. No. And so they call action, and I'm like, I fall to the ground, and I'm like, bam, bam, bam. And I'm like, supposed to be like, get out of here. And I like, bam, bam, bam. And I go, oh, shit. And they're like, cut. I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't know it was going to be that loud and be that cool. I've never shot a gun. And they're like, okay, now that we've got that out of the way, like,
let's do another.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll fake it till you make it, I guess.
I wonder what the director was doing at Village. Get me out of Canada as fast as you
exactly.
can.
Yeah, exactly. But it was great. It was great.
Was that before Carrie Diaries?
No, it was after. Yeah, okay. It was after.
It was after Stitchers.
Stitchers.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like one of the. Or was it
like while we were on hiatus? Between one and two.
No, it was right.
Two and three. Did you shoot it in the future?
No, it was right before Stitchers. It was right before Stitchers because I was doing.
Oh.
I was doing. Yeah, because Stitcher season one started in January.
Yeah, it sure did.
And this was in December. So, yeah, this was, like, right before.
Oh, so after we did the first pilot?
Uh-huh. It was after the first pilot, before the new season, and it aired right after season one aired of Stitchers. Mm. But, yeah.
Carrie Diaries, talk about your experience.
Talk about my experience.
Five words or less. Go.
Five.
I can't do it in five words or less. I'm trying to think of it.
I tried it yesterday on a guest,
and it worked really well.
Yeah. So I was super.
I know. I didn't even try to attempt it. I could have, but I just would have.
Yeah.
I could have gotten lucky. I would probably say.
I was on Carrie Diaries.
Yeah.
Five words.
Done.
Transpo took me to set. As opposed to LA, they're like, you drive yourself, bitch.
And I was like, so in New York, they pick you up for
everything. Yeah, and I thought, this is the life.
No one has a car.
Or they don't expect you to. So
that's true.
But Carrie Diaries was right around, what year was that? 2012?
JJ was there.
Yeah.
Yep.
He was here.
I edited the second season.
Yeah.
JJ, met Kyle before I met Kyle, and sort of.
Yeah. Well, I saw his dreamy eyes, and I was like, I knew him.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's what I go for.
Yeah.
Dreamy eyes.
What are you trying to get out of this scene? I'm like, I want editors around the country going, yeah, I do him. You know, because it we works. Don't think no, what, you know, they have to do on their end of the day. The other ones have to look at us all the time.
They do.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough, boring job.
It's super.
Especially if you're editing Stitchers. I'm kidding.
Oh.
Only when I'm not on. I'm also kidding. Kind of.
You're...
I'm just kidding. Everyone's great.
I'm kidding.
I was waiting for that.
I don't know.
Oh boy. Well, you played Mouse's boyfriend.
I did. I played Seth.
Yeah.
Nice.
Which actually in the pilot was a different dude.
It was, and I did not know that, and I felt bad because I just remember thinking, like, God, if that was me, I would hate me and be like, this guy took my job, you know?
Screw that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it happens. I mean, it happened on Stitchers.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, and that breakdown said, looking for an Adam Brody type. And so I went in being like, well, I look like I could be a stand-in.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm nearly as attractive, but if you need the cheaper version, I'm your guy.
I think it's hilarious that they put that on the breakdown.
Yeah. Yeah. That was
the thing. Josh just like, we need another one.
Josh didn't really have much, say in it as much as Stephanie.
Oh, really?
And Amy Harris, mm-hmm. She was the showrunner.
And we have the same last name, so I kind of thought maybe. Yeah. No.
That's true.
I have no self-confidence, clearly.
Yeah.
Hope I can use this somewhat nepotism to get this right.
I'm just trying to lock down an editor.
Yeah. Yeah. Guys, you got to cast this guy. Why is he talking? Who is this? Who is this guy? Did you bring my coffee? Is that what you're here for?
So it was great. We did three little episodes in the first season, and it was like the best cast because everyone was kind of pretty new and everyone was like all around the same age and it just felt like everyone was like hanging out and everyone had great, you know, high hopes for the show and everyone kind of knew what they were doing and it was a party kind of, you know.
I like that show.
It was fun. It was definitely fun. And I definitely felt for the first time, I was like, oh man, like this is what I want to do. This would be so cool, you know?
Yeah.
I only, you know, have to say a couple lines and I get like, you know, 3 months of salary of a theater job and one day of work, you know?
Right. You're kind
of
yeah, like, there you go.
This is awesome.
Point me to that food table.
Yeah,
again.
I remember though, my first day on set, I had two to-go boxes from catering for lunch. One was just my meal. The other one was my dessert in two separate things. So I was like, this is free. And one of the PAs was like, are you bringing that to someone? I was like, nope, just, they're both mine. So I sat by myself. Lay off me, I'm starving. And so I sat in my dressing room and I ate. And I remember taking a picture of it too, being like, I have no shame. I didn't share it, but that was the first picture I'd ever taken of food. I thought I had arrived.
You should.
Yeah.
That's got to be interesting then, going from theater, which is a very different world.
Mm-hmm.
And to TV,
mm-hmm.
I would imagine TV feels a lot faster.
It feels a lot. I mean, it's obviously a lot. It's a lot faster, and it's kind of like when you're done with the scene, you're like, "Well, I'm never doing that again."
Yeah,
I hope you got it.
Yeah.
Whereas you know, in theater, you like, "Wow, I don't know if that was me or the audience, but I get to do it tomorrow."
Yeah.
You know, it's always the audience. No, I don't know, but like you know, it's fun getting to like you know, wood shop a joke and like just things to be like, "How do I?"
Did you say wood shop?
Is that what it, no, whittle?
You mean workshop?
Workshop
is the right word.
No, wood shop, because like I take my job. I'm building a house. We're going to edit this out.
Nope. Nope, we're not. You workshop it.
Yeah, yeah. Some people do, but some, I workshop. How much work would a workshop would if it were?
Holy.
Anyway. Oh.
Woof.
Good thing.
Okay, so you're wood shopping.
So back in my carpentry days, you know, you can wood shop, workshop, wood. And you know, you just figure it out. You figure, you know, but whereas I kind of wish, at least, you know, with our show, it's a procedural, so it's like 90% information, you know?
Yeah.
You rarely get to be like, all right, let's do this one and like, you know, make people feel. It just sometimes it feels a little like my coverage, your coverage, you know, and it's, there's a lot of stop and go being like, oh, I messed up. Let's do that again. And for me, it takes the air out of it. And like, no one's perfect. And I understand, you know, we all make mistakes and stuff and I'm guilty of it as well. But it's just like, that's the stakes of being like, you cannot mess up right now. And if you do, you keep going. And I've done that many times on Stitchers and they're like, what were you saying? I was you only know because the script's in front of you, you know?
Right.
I was still saying science jumbo mumbo and like they believe it, you know?
Is it as fun to do it? Because having done, I've done a little bit of television.
I know.
I did play the UPS guy.
I thought you played the woodsman in the woodshop.
I played the woodsman. But when you're on stage, you get that like energy and that response from the audience.
Absolutely.
That you don't get, especially on a TV set. It's like, even if it's comedy.
No one's laughing.
Unless it's like, yeah, unless it's like a multicam, yeah. Everybody has to shut up the whole time. So it's like.
Right.
I imagine as an actor, that would be.
Right. I feel like at the end of the day, it's a much more individual task. It's more like, okay, I'm bringing my best to this scene right now. I can only hope you will do the same. But in theater, it's more like we are a cast. And no matter what, we are putting on this show for this many people that came to experience this right now. And even when you do those shows that you know are like, this is a joke, mm-hmm. you just bond that much closer because you're like, this is, we've got to make the best of this sinking ship, you know? Yeah. And then, but in TV, sometimes they just, you know, you can, I feel like there are days where, you know, everyone's got their days and stuff, but like in theater, you can't really have a bad day. You know, yeah. Or like you can, no one really know the difference, but the cast, the energy that's put out to me is so much more like demanding of one another.
Yeah.
You know, whereas in television, it's like, okay, well, that was on me, not you. So I guess you could slump a little.
Well, I imagine it's also, it's like once you've shot the scene, it's out of your hands, but now it goes into a whole different
set
of hands. And it's
I'd go back and watch Stitcher's episodes and be like, I guess that makes sense. You know, like I threw that one to the wind and like, so, you know, that's the thing. And like, it's a weird game to play because you wonder, like you're trying to get the best performance, but you're also trying to be a team player, but you also get notes from directors or, you know, I guess writers or, you know, showrunners, and they'll just be like, do it this way. And after watching at first, you're like, yeah, okay, sure. I'll do anything. And then you watch the show and you learn like, oh, if I do that, you're going to use that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to do that. And it becomes a weird, messed up game of like, how do I get my work out there so I don't care what the edit because it's all me, mm-hmm. you know? As opposed to being like, how do I make everyone's jobs go, you know, swimmingly with, but at the same time, you know, get the best of what I want so I can 100% walk away at the end of the day and be like, I'm 100% okay with whatever they choose.
Yeah.
You know? But that's, I guess, you know, I don't want to say the price you pay, but like it's a weird tactical kind of thing sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
I blame the editors.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. Exactly.
The choices that you do make, do you see a lot of those choices on the show? And do you watch the show and kind of critique yourself?
Yeah, I mean, obviously when it airs, things are much bigger on the day, much bigger mm-hmm. of a deal. Sure. And then you watch it and like you're the only one that's noting that, or you don't even remember it and you go, or you watch it in retrospect and you go, this, I was such an idiot that day. That does not matter that I'm not wearing the exact same or my hair or just, I mean, stupid, petty things that like, you know, we as actors have such a, you know, closeness to the show that you're like, oh, you want to protect it. But then you watch it and you're like, it's such a blip. And like, they'll probably cut away from you there anyway. You know, those are things that we have to remind ourselves. But in the moment, you're like, this is, you don't know what they could use. So I watched myself and I, you know, and I think it was a huge learning curve watching myself just through the first season because, you know, I wish we were able to see the dailies more just when we all were first starting because, you know, I'd say, you know, 90% of the cast is all brand new to this. So we're all just like, okay, how do we look best? How do we, like, what's the tone? Who's doing what and whatnot? And because I think the first couple episodes of any show, everyone's trying to figure it out. So we were all almost on different pages as far as the show went, trying to figure it out. You know, like I came at it like it was a freaking goofy comedy, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then like you have Emma who's playing it, the girl plays Kirsten, as very just like, this is it. This is dry. This is serious and whatever. Yeah. And like, that's her character. But next to her, I look like I'm like, you know, in 3D.
Jerry Lewis.
Exactly. You know, which for me was fun. But then once the show kind of found its footing, I was just like, oh, okay. Like we need to get rid of some of the jokes and some of the things and whatever. And I mean, I'm so happy with where it's come from that point. It's because at the end of the day, you kind of can just be like, that was a choice. I was starting my evolution of my character that far because I knew we were going to get a season two and that's why he's this way now. Like, no, I wish I could say that, but it's just a learning curve.
Do you see dailies now?
No, really, really wish we could because I'm not the type of person to be like, how dare they light me that way? Like, I don't have that kind of mentality. I just want to be like, how can I better myself? You know, because you're watching yourself, and you don't get to do that in any other kind of medium, really. You know,
yeah.
When it's so instant to be like, all right, let me see how that looked. You could go back and watch it on the monitor in theater. You're like, you'd be lucky if you saw a bootleg of it. You know,
yeah.
So you know, but that's also the beauty of it. Just it's there and it goes, and it's just a memory at that point. So,
do you feel that going back on theater and do you feel like some of the best actors you've worked with have been theater actors?
100%.
Yeah.
I think there's I'm looking at you, kid. And
who else is in here with us?
The editor.
Oh.
I was in theater too.
Thank you.
JJ went to a theater once.
I was the lead in a church play once.
Were you?
Yep. It was a 20 or 30 page script.
Ooh, turn this mirror around.
Oh no. I thought I did okay, but I was like, I'm never doing this again. I cannot do this.
I played Joseph in a play called No Fibbin' Mephibosheth, which was someone's take on a biblical story for my church.
And you were a carpenter.
Yeah.
I was woodshopping it.
I was woodshopping the character. I really wanted to get the part of Mephibosheth. But instead, they gave his part to a girl.
Well,
my role was a Humphrey Bogart type of character who was trying to solve the mystery of Christmas.
Oh.
Yeah.
What mystery?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I wonder if my parents still have a tape of it.
How does one fit through the chimney?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. This is mysterious.
I thought you were going to say Jeopardy.
Yeah. This, around the world in one night.
Yeah.
Billions of homes.
How many times do I need to stop to refuel this mysterious sled?
Reindeer abuse.
But Kyle, you've done some theater as well. Have you?
You're more experienced than us.
A little bit. Yeah, I will say that, just like the actors, you just kind of know what the struggle of, not the struggle, but just like the discipline of 8 shows a week is, and you know how to hold a live audience, and you know, there's a sense of pacing in a scene. There's a sense of, you know, selflessness in a way, because it's, you know, whereas when you got the lights and the makeup and the hair and everyone's touching you up and doing these things, it becomes, you kind of get lost in like, all right, well, how do I look, in a way, more so than like, what is this, how is this coming across? Oh, doesn't matter, they'll edit it to make it look good anyway. And it's like, it becomes like a crutch in a weird way, you know, but like, you don't really lean on it, but you kind of just go like, well, you know, there'd be days I drive home from set being like, I kind of blew that one today, and like, just being self-critical. But like, you know, again, you watch it and like, you know, you're watching it with your peers who are also happen to be actors, and you want to be the best you can be for everyone, just to prove that like, I deserve to be here. It's always that constant struggle of being like, am I good enough even when you are there, you know? Especially with this material that we do on a daily with Stitchers, is because it's almost like a book report. You go home and you memorize the facts of the case, and you spit it out, and you try to do it with some confidence to be like, yes, this is totally believable, and I'm 100%
definitely
behind
with
this.
Conviction.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then if you're lucky, you'll get to do some scenes with some, you know, actual character work involved. But you know, coming from the theater world, I will say, especially musical theater, it's a lot less taxing on the individual, because you don't have to. Your body isn't as in demand because of the upkeep that you normally have to, you know, prepare for with your voice, you know, as a singer. So I don't miss that part. I will tell you that much.
I know someone who's doing Fiddler on Broadway.
Okay.
And she'd posted it's Samantha.
Oh yeah.
And she'd posted a thing on Instagram. She's like backstage. She does all these hilarious like backstage videos when she's all like in costume ready to go on. And she had, I don't know what it was, but it looked like an oxygen mask thing attached to like a bottle. She's like, this is what I'm doing before I go on stage
and
every
you
night.
Just, you steam, you just put your face in the steamer and you just sit there and it just like breathe.
It's just just clearing.
It's just a kind of like, it's just like a therapeutic thing to like kind of like relax your cords and like keep them healthy and stuff. And there's just so many things. And I just get in my head so much about it that like, I mean, when I was doing West Side Story on the road, it really got to me, because, you know, you expect a certain amount of, of output from yourself. But when you're doing it 8 times a week and you're traveling on your day off and opening for a new city the next day, the wear and tear catches up to you. And so when I wasn't at my best 100% of the time, I just thought like, oh, I can't do anything.
Yeah.
You know, like, and you just get so down on yourself because you're like, if I were an audience member, I'd be like, oh, that guy sucked. You know, right. but then you'll go and watch the show one night when you're not in it and you see an understudy go on and you're like, no one knows the difference. You know, they just want to have a good time, you know,
right.
But like,
right.
We're all so hard on ourselves to be the best at all times because we don't want to blow our shot because it's like, it comes around every so often and you don't,
yeah.
and it really comes back to just being like good enough for your peers. You know, the audience will forgive you in a more so than I feel like the peers around you. Cause everyone's,
right.
You know, everyone knows what it takes and, but they forgive, you know, everyone forgives and, you know, everyone hits a bad note, hits a, you know, wrong step, you know, flubs a line, but
yeah,
it's a different kind of pressure that really got to me. Like I'd get checked out and I'd be like, wait, I don't have nodes. And they're like, no, no nodes. I was like, then why do I suck? You know, like I wish I had that as an excuse, but like, they're like, yeah, I don't know. And I just would get so nervous that like my voice would just kind of clench up and, you know,
yeah.
It'd be, you know, it's just so many factors that you don't really realize until you're in the moment and you're like, oh.
Do you prefer touring or Broadway or off Broadway or off Broadway or in a dumpster?
Done a lot of dumpster theater.
Nice.
Classy man.
I recommend everyone if you have the opportunity to tour the country to do it when, you know, at least once in your life, because you're getting paid to travel.
Were you in a car?
No, I mean, we were
on a moped.
No, they'd fly us everywhere, you know.
Oh, on an airplane.
Yeah, in an airplane.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so every week you'd be in a different city.
What was that like?
I would have gone for a bus, but whatever.
Yeah, no, I don't. That's a tough tour. I mean, people that do that. Like, I'm like, okay, but you know, but unless you're in those big sleeper buses,
yeah,
where
and you play a musical instrument,
right? Exactly.
Yeah. So if you're in a band,
like,
is what you're saying,
yeah, yes. Or like a Beyonce backup dancer,
right?
And you're just like, my life is awesome. Yeah. We all have aspirations.
What did Jay-Z call his girlfriend before they got married? His fiance.
Oh. Did you make that up?
No, I wish.
Oh.
I saw it on Twitter.
Oh. Saw it on a popsicle stick.
Yeah. Anyway, going on. Moving forward.
Yeah, so yeah, it was just an airplane, and they flew us out everywhere. In like certain cities, we sat down for 5 weeks, like L.A., Chicago, San Francisco, you know,
yeah.
The bigger ones. But every other, you know, stop was just a week, and they'd fly you to the next place, and you're traveling in an airplane, and you're just, you know, trying not to get sick, and you're doing it. And so I did that for almost like a little over a year.
With
West Side Story, playing Tony.
Tony.
Yeah.
He's the gangster.
Yeah, it was Arthur Lawrence's last production of West Side Story. I'm what killed him. He's like, this sounds like a cat in a blunder. Get him out.
Shot himself.
No, I shot him for saying that.
Oh.
I'm kidding.
Wow.
It's terrible.
This went a different direction.
I'm sorry. Rest in peace, Arthur.
No, it's fine. You should do Death of a Salesman next.
Is there a woodchopper in it?
Yeah.
Wizard of Oz, you could do Wizard of Oz.
I was
really
in the Wizard of Oz. That was my first community theater show I did. I was the wizard, and I, for some reason, I don't think I made this choice until I got my costume, but I got my costume when I was in this all-white tuxedo with, like, sequin, like, trim, green sequin trim and, like, a green, like, fez kind of thing. And as soon as I saw the fez, I'm like, well, he's got to be Indian. And so I made him Indian, and I was like, welcome to the Wizard of... And I... No one said anything. And I
Where was this?
Holy shit.
It was on... Oh, God. OCCT, Orange County Children's Theater. And I look back and I'm like, how?
That's amazing.
Yeah. No, this is a true story. And everyone's like, that's great. Like, not even like, I can't believe you're doing this, but just like, yep, that's the wizard. And I, you know, so I keep telling Tesh. I was like,
yeah,
you should play the wizard in the Wizard of Oz. And he's like,
yeah,
I can't do that. I go, you can.
Yeah,
yes, you can.
I'm paving the way for you and everyone out there.
All Indian actors.
Thought,
oh, Kyle, a big debt of gratitude. That's like when I did Oklahoma and I was Ali Hackam, and I'm like, I don't know what a Persian accent is.
See, I always thought
it was made one up.
Right. And I was
and they were like, yep.
Yeah, I was talking about this the other day. Is it Ali Hackam or is it actually Ali Hakim?
Dude, I don't know.
It's Ali Hackam because he's like, I'm in Oklahoma. But like, if it's,
yeah,
it's probably Ali Hakim.
I was like, is Persia a place? Is it made up for the thing?
I don't know.
I think it's a place.
I'm from a Persia, and I sell stuff in Oklahoma. That's what
Gyllenhaal's
I
mean.
You're doing an Italian
I guess. Do you want us some meatballs? We have a bottomless breadsticks here in Oklahoma. And they were like, yeah.
See?
And the director was Italian. And her husband was Italian. And he looked like the opera singer.
Yeah.
And Pavarotti?
Yeah. He looked like Pavarotti. He really did.
Wow.
Anyway.
Yeah, but...
So...
Where did you go to school, by the way?
Yeah, what's your deal?
I went to the University of Arizona.
No. Oh. Elementary school.
East Shore Elementary.
Nice.
You were the Dolphins.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I always won the jogathon.
Oh, ours was called walkathon.
Oh, no.
But you guys were a step up.
Yeah.
Quite literally. Okay, so you won the jogathon.
I mean, that was my claim to fame. I was a fast little sprite.
I remember that because I always got like the thanks for showing up trophy.
I mean, more or less, but I was
But then I remember the guy who would like get the, you actually finished this thing quickly trophy, and I always wanted that one.
Well, that's why you're running marathons now.
Yeah.
I just did the one. And now I can't walk.
Sorry.
But you should did it.
Yeah. You should ice your knee when this is over.
Nah. I'll drink more hot chocolate.
Well, I forgot it's breakfast time.
So then you went to Arizona.
I went to the University of Arizona for musical theater.
Do they have a good musical theater program?
They did when I was there.
Well, aren't we full of ourselves?
I mean, the productions were brought to you by the Harris, which was a bank.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Harris Bank.
But everyone was just like...
Chicago's got it, too.
Yeah, everyone was like, oh, this guy getting all the leads.
Yeah.
Family's probably paying for this crap. And I was just like...
Who are these people that are talking like
I went
like
to
that?
School with the mom. There's just like a lot of like 10th year seniors just like, what the hell? That guy got the wizard over me.
I'm not taking my business degree now. Yeah.
The friggin' Indian wizard over me.
The Indian wizard, yeah. You're like, hey, you see the new guy?
Yeah. Becky, get out of the town car. Put down the ZD. You got to listen to this. Come over here.
So, yeah, I was, no, it was a good program. It was a really good program. I don't know how it is now, honestly. I mean, the teachers were great. And I honestly had no idea what I was doing. I played soccer my whole life. And
I was going to say, you were originally like,
yeah,
that was going to be your
super
thing.
Yeah, super involved in that. And then I dated a girl who's like, you should do musicals. And I was like, I need an art credit. Okay. So I did that, and then I, you know, she's like, you got to audition for the program. I was like, why can't I just pay money to go to the same school as you? And she's like, well, you need to get in first. And I was like, well, this is stupid. Yeah. So I went, and I got in, and I found out, like, maybe 10 minutes after audition that I got in, and I was like, oh, that was easy. I guess I'll go here. Like, I didn't really try too hard to go anywhere else as far as musical theater is concerned. I tried to audition for UCLA. I took my – which is funny because I remember sitting in the audition, and they were like, we want our actors to be – well-rounded and educated and smart actors. So that's why it's a BA program and not a BFA. And my dad's just like, you're in the wrong place. So I still ended up going through with it, and I didn't get in, obviously. I didn't get into the school either, and I ended up having to take my SAT-2s just to audition because I really just wanted to go and stay in L.A. And then,
oh.
So I went there, and they gave me a lot of opportunity, and that's kind of how I you know, felt like I got most of my training is just by doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would love to go back and just teach a quick master class on what to do when you're not working, like how to collect unemployment.
Right, yeah. Right.
You know?
Here's how the can opener
like
works.
Like how to set up and, yeah. Just little things.
You turn it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
And you pray.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you what you thought the percentage of working actors are from maybe your school.
We're not, it's not a very, like, high success rate, I suppose. I don't, I mean, I could be wrong, but I mean, it's as far as like being put on the map with the other, you know, the big ones. It, you know, it's a theater school in the desert. You know, we do have, you know, I think we have Kristen Wiig. I found this out at the Pac-12 tournament basketball game, and they're like, famous alumni.
Oh, like yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they were like showing all these athletes, and then they show Kristen Wiig, and I was like, maybe one day, Kyle. Yeah. Maybe I'll make the Jumbotron. Couldn't even make the Kiss Cam.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, I think like Craig T. Nelson. Like, we had like, I think nice. Greg Kinnear was actually cut from our program, I think the rumor was.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think they made a mistake.
Yeah, I really do. But we
You mean Oscar winner Greg Kinnear?
He won an Oscar?
I don't know.
Anyway.
I don't remember.
But yeah, I mean, there's people that definitely work, and you know, but it's interesting because a lot of, you know, like a lot of actors from that program go to Los Angeles just to, you know.
It's relatively close.
Relatively close, and that's what I was going to do. And then my friends were just kind of like, why are you going to do you have a musical theater degree. Like, you got to shoot for Broadway at least. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Makes sense.
And yeah. I went. And that was kind of, that was literally all it took for me to just go like, okay. And I went. But I, you know, everyone's doing well. And we're trying to put ourselves on the map, you know.
Sure.
And, you know, that's why I'd like to go back and just talk and be like, look, I had no idea what I was doing. I still don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But I at least know how to collect unemployment, and here's how to do it in five easy steps.
Well, did
he was nominated for his role in As Good as It Gets.
Oh.
Oh, but he didn't win, so.
Oscar nominated actor Greg Kinnear.
It's a pretty cool. What would that be? A pref.
A surname?
No, that's after, right?
I don't know what you're trying to.
Like a preface it? Like a
pre-name.
You mean like Mr.?
Like, yeah. You know, yeah, sure. Yeah.
I would prefer Mr., Mrs., Miss.
Is it a prefix?
Oscar nominated actor.
Yeah. Is there an option that I can drag down?
That'd be funny if only in LA.
Yeah.
You have these four to choose from.
That's fair.
Mr., Mrs., question mark, and Oscar nominated actor.
Mine would say none of the above.
Well, you could go with Mr.
I guess.
I feel like the question mark is the right choice for you.
Kind of.
Do you have any horror stories from...
oh, yeah, you do.
Ghost stories?
Sure. No. any mistakes that you've seen on stage or you know, in front of the camera... That you don't have to name names, you don't have to name companies or shows or anything like that.
Man, I wish I know there are, and there are things out there. I mean, one story was, I think we were in,
Did you have hives at a show once?
No, I mean, I have lost my voice in front of like 7,000 people, think it was, at the Fox Theater in Atlanta. I was like singing Maria, and I was like, the most beautiful sound I ever heard. And I was just like, oh boy, I don't know sign language. I am royally fucked. And so I ended up just kind of, you know, just miming my way through that song. And then guess what comes after that one? The balcony scene into Tonight Tonight. And so I just, you know, I climbed the balcony. Yeah, literally. And so Maria was just looking at me and I'm looking at her like, this is all you, babe. I have nothing. And so that one kind of sucked. And my understudy at the time was like, he's like a 5'7" blonde kid, and he came out in the next scene in the same costume as me. He's just like, "What?" And he like breaks up the gangs as they're fighting in Doc's drugstore, and everyone's like, "Who the hell's this guy?" And then like at intermission, they're like, "Ladies and gentlemen, the role of Tony will be played." And they're like, "Oh,
we get it now."
Yeah, so that was kind of rough. I remember being like, "Well, that happened." So it kind of proved to me that I was just like, "Well, if you can do that, like, who cares?" You know. Yeah. I have also like been running out on stage for like, you know, my bow and a curtain call, and I'm like running to greet the audience, and I just tumble, just completely fall down in front of them, and I'm just like, yep, that's right.
Good to see you.
Show's not over yet, folks. There's so, I mean, little things here and there, but nothing that was like, you know, what do we do in the heat of the moment kind of, you know? Yeah.
Are there any roles that you would love to take? Like, would you really want to get into comedy or?
I mean, I would, yeah. I mean, I'd love to do a comedy, obviously. I feel like, you know.
You're not that funny, though.
I know, so, but like, I don't need to be the funny guy. I could just be like the guy who just like.
Be a straight guy.
I'm like the UPS guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me tell you, it's not as easy as it looks, my friend. You should read my book.
No, I've always actually wanted to do
I'll
like
sell you a copy on the way out.
Shipping 3 to 5 days.
Yeah,
I deliver
you
myself.
Deliver it yourself. So meta. No, not actually. I mean, obviously, I think I've always wanted to do like a period piece. I think that'd be cool. And everyone's like, I know it's as boring as that
what
sounds.
What kind of what period? What period of time?
Anyone? It's just about a girl who grows up into a woman and like gets her.
Right.
So that kind of guy.
Okay.
Who teaches her how to get... I don't know. Why the fuck are we talking about this?
Sounds like a real woodshop piece.
Yeah, it's a woodshop. We're woodshopping it at the network. I don't know. Everyone's just like, you've got great Game of Thrones hair. And I was like, I don't watch that show. I don't know what that means. But I guess I should play a knight.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
You should do all of that.
I don't know. I literally, I would do anything.
Wow. It's that bad, huh?
I'm telling you,
well,
man.
He is here.
We so. Air in a week, we premiere in a week, and I'm just like, give me a job.
What can you say about Stitchers? Because...
Yeah, we haven't really talked about season two.
Yeah, season two, man.
Season two. I mean, you're dead, right?
I am completely dead.
And you're not on the show at all.
Yeah, and all the clips they're showing are to like throw the audience off and making them think that I'm alive. But you know, the joke's on them. They're gonna tune in and be like, wait, he's a ghost? Yeah. And so then I just kind of fuck around with people as a ghost in the lab this season.
I like the Christmas episode.
Yeah,
idea.
That's a great idea. But yeah, no, I come back to life because there is, I come back to life. I have a job.
They don't fire you.
They don't fire me. Yeah. And I, you know, they should just, you know, I thought at first it was like, I missed a tweet that was like, who would you want to kill on the show? And I thought, I was like, I must have missed this. Why am I dying? I thought I was doing okay amongst the 13-year-olds, but, yes, it's a good season. It's a much stronger season, in my opinion, all across the board. I think that people are going to watch it, and I think they're going to feel cooler watching the show because I think it's, yeah. I really do think it's the coolest show on Freeform. I am partial to it, but I, you know, but as a 20-year-old, 29-year-old.
Do you know how old you are?
I tell you, man.
What are you trying to figure out
it's
right now?
It's that question mark.
Oh. Oscar-nominated actor?
That's what I'm taking right now.
Okay.
And, you know,
so you're either 20 or 29. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just think that this show for the network is the strongest thing they have on there because I think it's smart and I think it looks awesome and I think there's action involved in it. I think it's, you know, what I think the network's trying to be.
Yeah.
And I think we're paving the way for them in that world, you know, without having to rely on the supernatural vampire, you know, trend that's happening right now. I mean, no offense to those shows, but I feel like, you know, that has a built-in audience with it. And whereas we are just delivering a smart show week to week that is, you know.
Yeah.
Unique story.
Yeah, exactly. Unique story and whatnot. And I think that, you know, people are into it because they enjoy the characters. And, you know, the case of the week, I guess if you're into that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. But I'm really... I've never,
like a slow burn?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really watch... I've never watched, like, an episode of CSI or, like, Law & Order. I mean, those things always just, like, put me to sleep. Because I'm like, at the end of the day, you know, obviously this guy did it. So mm-hmm. why do we care, you know? But I'm learning a lot just from just knowing what I want to do and what I don't want to do. And, like, you know, what I'd love to do as far as, you know, maybe behind the camera as far as, you know, being a, you know, showrunner one day or, you know, writing for a show or just, you know.
Yeah, because you've done some writing.
I've done some writing.
He's done a little bit of writing.
Done a little bit of writing.
Is that all right?
Yeah, all right. Here and there. Little
sometimes
things.
He'll write me text messages and I'll be like,
it's a good text. Should make a book on texting.
You see what he did there.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, it's
well, that's interesting though because, I mean, we're writing something together.
We are.
What?
Yeah. I'm going to read it for you. Paige, we're going to do table read right now on the podcast.
Sweet.
Of the rough draft of our pilot.
What character do I play?
You're the woodsman.
Why do I keep...
So stupid. No.
Number one on the call sheet, baby.
Sweet.
The woodsman.
The woodsman.
It's just about a guy who lives in the woods.
Look at my woods.
It's just like...
It's the Unabomber
the
story.
The biopic of like the brawny man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
What... because I think there are people who want to act and that might be like, this is all I've ever wanted to do. And it's hard
mm-hmm.
because I don't know who was saying it. Maybe Sally or somebody that was on. I was talking about how there's like 2 or 3% of the, you know, percent of the members in SAG are mm-hmm. actually like making a living as okay. actors. So
solely acting.
Yeah.
Mm.
And not having to work another job. So it helps to have that other skill like writing or something.
Yeah.
So what do you think, coming from an actor standpoint, that you bring to that?
I feel like the way I look at writing is just like, you know, I can look at a story and I go, okay, this is great. Here's how it can be better.
Yeah.
I mean, I could be completely off, but I do believe that I have strong ideas as far as being able to like almost doctor something and be like, all right, this is great. But if you just did this instead of this, or if you just said that and not that, and like just stayed on course with, as you know, as an actor, being like, what would I want to bring to the table? What's inspiring me? You know, what's making me go like, this is good. I need to be just as good, if not better, to bring, you know, like I want to be scared by material because it's, I don't want to mess it up. Whereas like you look at a lot of material and you go, how do I make this better? Or how do I do me in this, you know?
Yeah.
But I also, you know, and it's not to say that just because it's not my voice, it's not someone else's voice. But like I, you know, when I do piddle around with writing, I'll just be like, you know, I'll at the end of the day look at the scene and be like, would I say yes to my manager? Like, well, yeah, let's go in for this.
Mm-hmm.
Just based off of one scene that you'd probably get for an audition, and be like, you know, to trust that, like, if this is what you're seeing in one scene that could just be, you know, a summary of the character, you can trust that the rest of the script will be, you know, if as good, if not better. So I have been inspired by Stitchers because you know, it's not necessarily my cup of tea as far as like a premise of a show, as far as like the you know, category it's in as a sci-fi procedural, but it's still an interesting story and an interesting concept that, like, if I could take it and run with it, it would go in so many different directions and so many different things. And that's, of course, if networks and opinions weren't involved. You know, that's what I'm also learning, is, you know, how much hearsay they have, and, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, once we finish it up and get that clean, you know, solidified draft.
Yeah.
We're
close.
We'll have Emmys like JJ.
Table read.
Yeah.
The Woodsman.
Interior. Cabin.
The woodsman is whittling at his table.
The woodsman spills a glass of milk. He starts to cry, then stops himself and reaches for a brawny paper towel.
This shall do it.
You see that? That was like a character arc right there. He was like, oh, I want to cry. No, I will not cry.
I'll use this Kleenex to wipe up.
Why would I cry over
spilled? I will use this super absorbent decorative paper towel. That's the sound it makes when you clean up spilled milk with it.
Wait, who's whittling who?
There's no one's whittling anybody. I don't know what kind of show you're making.
See, that's why.
We're doing our table read of the Woodsman ideas right now. I take everything and I turn it into pornography.
I told you, I would do anything, man. Right? I mean, it's like...
Oh, boy.
Not that.
The Woodsman.
No, let's not go there.
He's like, let's clean up that mess. This is so stupid.
Oh boy. Do you have any advice for anyone that wants to be an actor?
Advice?
Yeah.
Don't take any advice from me.
All right. See you next week.
Peace. We're out of here.
If you could go back to the beginning of
this podcast,
yes,
take back everything.
What
I've
would
said.
You do differently? No, if you went back to your first day on Stitchers, what would you tell yourself
of the original pilot?
Sure.
What would I tell myself?
Yeah. What would you be like?
Oh no!
Hey, it's weird that we're here together. Would you say that, or would you say something else?
I would. That would be one of the first things.
It's kind of a Back to the Future moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't sleep with my mom.
Oh. Okay.
Wait. That happened in the movie, right?
Oh, we're talking about the movie.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. No. No, actually didn't.
God, you have to ruin me.
Sorry.
I didn't?
I don't know. I don't know what I'd say to myself. I would say... to stand up for yourself more on set, and have a sense of ownership of your character.
Nice.
And not necessarily be there to do something because someone wants you to do it, but do it because you want to do it.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's going to go through several different edits and several different cuts, and so all you can leave them with is ultimately just you. So, you know, do it for you, and they'll, and like, cause they're going to cut the rest of it the way they want it, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's probably what I tell myself.
That's beautiful.
Yes.
Here, here's a brawny paper towel that wiped out a tear.
Oh, it does work.
Yeah. It's amazing. I'm happy now.
Oh, weird.
It cleaned up my sadness. Ugh, this has been a mess.
Do you have a Twitter account? You do have a Twitter account.
I do. Yeah.
You're verified.
I have a
what? Blue, how do you get verified?
I don't know. I think enough little girls vote in and say, I don't know.
Well, we voted in.
I think it's basically like, yeah.
This is him.
Did the network like take care of that for you? Or?
I think. I don't. I mean, it's not, there's nothing, there's no way to go about it. I mean, I'm sure people that do it know, but it's just like one day you wake up and you're like, oh, there's a little check mark. Now I guess everything I'm saying is supposed to be legitimately stupid now.
Yeah.
Legitimately not worth their time. Keep scrolling. You know, it's all just like, I don't know.
It's listening. When you tweet, hey guys, and more than 100 people retweet it.
Kind of. I'm nowhere near that level. It's really only active when the show is on.
There is one tweet. I'm going to find it right now before we end this thing. That you here at the Real Zuber Phoenix Flint. I'm the thing of you posting the picture of the coffin from Pretty Little Liars.
Oh yeah.
I'm in here. However, I'm not sure these pallbearers were part of Cameron's will. That thing. I don't know when that first was tweeted. December of last year, December 16th,
mm-hmm.
And I still get. People that are mentioning that all the time.
I mean, you go.
It's constant.
It's the hybrid of Pretty Little Liars and Stitchers, and then you people think there's going to be a crossover. And I go, God, I wish. I wish we could get half of their numbers on our show just to realize, like, no, I just kind of want to watch hot girls talk about murder. I'm good.
Stephanie commented on one of my tweets. Sorry.
You got really excited.
Is that my girlfriend?
Yeah. Yeah. I got to go. I just noticed that.
Do you want to share your Twitter handle?
Yeah, I'm at Kyle Harris.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Is that Kyle with a Q?
It's Kyle X Y.
Kyle X Y.
It was a former ABC Family show.
It was.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I'd ever seen someone with my name on television. Not like Kyle's most random name, but right. I was just like, oh, cool. And then I was like, wait a minute. He doesn't have a belly button. I'm not watching that.
He didn't have a belly button?
No.
Because he was made.
I think that was Eric Tuckman's choice. No, I don't know. Eric Tuckman's a great, great man.
He is, but he doesn't have a belly button.
It's
and
true.
He felt very underrepresented on national television.
That was his pitch. He's like, it's about a boy. He looks like this. And he took his shirt off.
Yeah.
Didn't have like, as dynamite of areolas as I did.
No one does.
And definitely didn't have a dynamite belly button. Because he didn't
have one.
Have one. This has been probably the worst episode.
No way, dude. I've had a lot of fun.
We've ever done.
People can follow you on Twitter, too.
They can.
The Real Zuber?
The Real Zuber.
Oh, yeah. I should change it over to the UPS man.
The UPS.
The real UPS
that,
man.
That would be pretty sweet.
You can follow me. You can follow JJ.
JJ Geiger 711.
Can you follow the podcast?
Yeah.
At Nice Enough People.
Well, that's the band Andrew's in.
That's the band.
Yeah.
Do they play the intro on that trumpet?
Who does play that trumpet?
I don't know.
I mean, the voice is Jack Rutkowski, the voice of P90X and Insanity.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then you got the actor that played Rockadoodle to do the crow in the beginning.
Was it a
Rockadoodle reference?
I don't know.
Didn't expect that one.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You ever seen Rockadoodle? I guess that's okay.
Is that an Orange County
thing? It's a cartoon.
It's a cartoon about like a crow who has to sing to bring up the sun. And he's kind of like Elvis.
I like how you sold it with that voice.
Yeah.
That's how they pitched it.
That's how they pitched it.
We're buying it.
And then they showed him. He's like, I don't have a belly button. And they're like, get out of here.
Do crows have belly buttons? This and other questions answered next week.
You can follow us at our early call time.
Yeah.
You can email us at earlycalltime@gmail.com.
Yeah.
You can call our telephone number at 267.
Yeah, call our Detroit phone number.
It's Philadelphia.
I know. It's because it's
every
a dog.
Every time. 267-225-CHAT.
267-225-2428.
You can
text
call
us.
Me.
Later.
Dr. Love.
Does the Stitchers Lab have a phone number?
Yes.
What is it?
1-800. I hope this didn't cost you a quarter.
Wow.
I don't know. That was a lame. I can't do comedy. Holy Emma's my hair. This podcast just made me really insecure.
Yeah, it's awesome. They're actually like the network just called. We're pulling the show.
We're pulling the show.
Sorry,
we didn't even air. Yeah, we're just. It's fine. We don't need that $18 million.
Well, thanks for being on the show, Kyle.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
It's been fun. Thanks for coming to our studio in this location.
Lovely Tarzana.
Beautiful downtown Tarzana.
Is there a downtown?
I feel like that little strip with the Whole Foods is probably...
The downtown.
We went to Chipotle.
Nice.
We braved it.
We crossed the
Just
street.
Just don't get the carnitas. You'll be okay.
I got the carnitas.
Oh.
And it was the guy's first day there, too.
Oh.
The girl was like, this is how you fold the burrito. And he was like,
I don't get it.
And
well, she actually judged me because I was like, I'm going to get a burrito bowl. And she goes, okay. And she was kind of saying something under her breath. And I'm like, can I get a tortilla on the side? And she was like, And I was just like, and she goes, see, people do that all the time. And I was just like, wow. Oh my gosh. No, so,
dude, I need to go to Chipotle right now and do that.
And just be like, I'm actually going to get 3 tortillas.
On the side.
Can I get a bowl
other?
On the side? And I'm just going to throw
Can you just put the beans in my hand,
in my
please?
Hand, please.
And they'll be like, we're pretty sure he said Ebola on the side. Oh, so go on ahead and give that to him.
Yeah.
You have a great day, sir. And without further ado.
Listen to that outro.
And that's a wrap. Didn't get your fill at Craft Services and you want more? Check out earlycalltime.com for more podcasts and information pertaining to the ever-growing entertainment industry. And remember to tell your friends about us via Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.